This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalam ala rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Razazi. We're coming you to the stories of the prophets. And we are with episode number 36 today. And we're session number 7. We have started with a new timing now. So we'll see how this goes, inshallah ta'ala. So there's a new timing for the series. You know, we instead of the weekdays, now we change them to weekends. And instead of 6 p.m. Eastern time, we change them to 5 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll see how that goes, inshallah ta'ala. This is all based on your requests. We'll give it a try and see how it works, inshallah ta'ala. So we are with episode number 36. Lecture so far on the stories of the prophets, and we are with session number 7. 7 sessions just talking about Musa alayhi salam. And the sessions they last normally about 40 minutes, you know, 30 to 40 minutes, inshallah ta'ala. There's lots of lessons that we derive from the stories of the prophets, especially the story of Musa alayhi salam. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, mashallah, brothers and sisters all the way from dear people from the UK, people from Australia, 7 o'clock in the morning there. May not be too, 7 o'clock, it's quite early for you. Brother Kokomorad, but Zakallah Khair for joining. Maybe we'll see how it goes. We'll give it a try, and then if that does not work, then we can switch it back. So let us start, inshallah ta'ala. Let us start. Brothers and sisters, yesterday, just a quick review of what we talked about yesterday. After Musa alayhi salam made that decision, and he when he came into his town, with Ben Israel, and then he found two people fighting, one from his party and one from his fowls, and then he went and he struck the one from his enemies, yani from the Egyptian. And then he became really scared. And the next day again, lo and behold, the same guy who was fighting from his tribe, from his body, was fighting with another guy this time. And then Musa alayhi salam, when he came the guy thought that he was going to kill him. And then he says, "Are you going to kill me like you killed the life before, like you killed the man, the night before?" And so that Egyptian, when he heard that, he ran. And he went back to the town informing Fir'aun and informing his soldiers. So Fir'aun sent out the message to go out there and catch Musa alayhi salam. A man who we don't know anything about came to Musa alayhi salam. He is an Egyptian man who lives in the palace. But he heard that, the soldiers are looking for Musa. So he came to Musa alayhi salam, and he told him to, escape, because they are, Fir'aun and his soldiers are looking for him to kill him. So Musa, brothers and sisters, this is what we talked about so far. I'm just, going quick, just to summarize so that we can start a new session, inshallah ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam, it was a sudden escape. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't ready. But he just went into the desert, leaving Egypt and not knowing where he was going. He just asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him, sawa as-sabil, to guide him to a sound way. And Allah azza wa jalla guided him. He went towards a city called Midian, which is in Jordan. A city called Midian, which is in the country of Jordan. Between where he was, SubhanAllah, between Midian, the town of Midian, and between Egypt, where he was, Carol, it's the distance of 1,000 kilometers. Imagine the distance of 1,000 kilometers that he had to cross. He left everything behind. He left his title behind, the Prince Musa title behind. He left his carriage, he left his horses, he left his wealth, he left everything. So now he's crossing the desert alone, in the midst of the darkness of the night, not knowing where he's going, has no sense of timing whatsoever, no sense of direction, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with him, guiding him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the distance of 1,000 kilometers. Historian said that it took him 8 days, 8 days traveling, right, to cross 1,000 kilometers from Egypt to Jordan. So that's what we talked about so far. So brothers and sisters, from there on, now here's a new series. From there on, there will be lack of stability in the life of Musa alayhi salam. Khalas, Musa will no longer be stable. 30 years in Egypt, 30 years living in the palace, 30 years being called Prince Musa, 30 years being pampered. Now that he left Egypt, you know, he's going to live 10 years in Midian, in Jordan, and then from Jordan he's going to come back to Egypt another 15 years, and then he's going to come out into the desert. So it's going to be, you know, there will be no lack of stability so whatsoever in the life of Musa. It's been said that Musa lived in, you know, until he was about 75 years old. He died when he was about 70, 75 years old. But subhanAllah, the majority of his life, he was in the sacrifice, you know, for, you know, and the support for the weak and for those who were humiliated by Fir'aun and others. He was in the support of Banu Israel. In Egypt, people are looking for Musa. But they did not think to search in the desert, because they know if anybody goes into the desert, you know, they're dead. Dead. But Musa goes into the desert, running away, walking at night, hiding during the day, had no food, no provisions with him. He only had those sandals that, you know, they used to wear at the time, not even proper shoes, not even proper clothes. As you know, some of you may know that the desert is very, very cold at night and very hot during the day. So he would be walking, maybe eating leaves from trees. Whenever he find a tree, if he was to find a tree, he would eat from the leaves of the tree. Thirsty, hungry, feet were bleeding. The feet were bleeding and cracked. Brothers and sisters, does this remind you of anything or anyone? This story now, this bit of the story? This man walking, his feet, like skin came out from his, you know, from his feet because of the fact that he's walking barefooted now for so many miles. Imagine, look, 1,000 kilometers. 1,000 kilometers, there's no, you know, there's no lift, there is no car, there's no truck, there's no horse. So walking for 1,000 kilometers, you know, until his feet were getting not only cracked, blood. Who does this think you of, you know, make you think of? Does this, you know, this story here, Ibrahim alayhi salam? Some of you said Ibrahim. Ibrahim? Who else? This hardship right here. Because he's escaping, right? He's running away. He's fleeing from the town. Fleeing for his life. What does this make you think of? Or who does it make you think of? Yasin, you gave it a try. Anybody else? Yasin gave it a try. He said Ibrahim alayhi salam. But Ibrahim did not run away. Ibrahim did not escape. Who else? Anybody else? Does it make you think of, doesn't it make you think of Prophet Muhammad and the story of Al-Ta'if? Yeah? Right? Prophet Muhammad and the Ta'if. When his feet were bleeding, his mouth, his face, you know, they broke his teeth, alayhi salatu salam, you know, throwing rocks at him. So it's something similar here. You know, Prophet Muhammad, when he went to Taif and then he came back from Taif. By the way, when Prophet Muhammad went to Taif from Mecca, he did not ride, he did not take his camel, he did not take his horse or anything. The Prophet walked. He walked from Mecca to Taif so that people do not know or would not sort of, you know, they wouldn't think that the Prophet is escaping or running away. If he was to go on his camel, they would think maybe he's running away, maybe he's escaping, maybe he's going somewhere. But he was just walking. He does not want them to follow him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, and then we know the story of what happened when they started throwing stones and rocks at him, and he was bleeding all over, alayhi wasallam. So Musa, alayhi wasallam, walking 1,000 kilometers until he reached this town called Midian, which, you know, which is located in a country called Jordan, Midian, Jordan. The town of this prophet by the name of Shu'aib alayhi salam. Shu'aib, he lived in this town called Midian, you know, the country of Jordan. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. And then when he reached the outskirts of Midian, brothers and sisters, why Midian? Why Jordan? Why Midian? Why Allah Azza wa Jal guided him to Midian? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him towards Jordan? All the towns, all the little, you know, all these outskirts of Egypt at the time, they were all under the authority and the control of Fir'aun. But Jordan was not in the control and the authority, under the authority of Fir'aun. So he reached a place where he was safe from Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to a place, to a country, to a land which is يعني, not under the control and the authority of Fir'aun. So he's safe now. He's safe. It's not like, you know, he just went, you know, just in vain. La, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the planner. They plan and Allah azza wa jalla plans, and Allah azza wa jalla is the best of planners, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, he does not know where he was going. He just made that dua. Asa rabbi an yahdiyani sawa' as-sabil. I pray that Allah azza wa jalla guide me to sawa' as-sabil, to a good, you know, path. So Allah azza wa jalla guided him to a good path, the path of Midian. And that Midian, again, like I said, it was safe from, you know, from Egypt and from Fir'aun and from his soldiers. That's why I mentioned yesterday, brothers and sisters, if you remember, I said, you know, who was with him when he was traveling? He wasn't alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was guiding him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from there on, my brothers and sisters, I mentioned, khalas, there will be no more stability in the life of Musa alayhi salam. He will not be stable no more. Just, he will be a hopper, a traveler from one place to another, just like a nomad. And he will live in Midian, Jordan, for about 10 years. And he will learn a lot from that country. He will learn so much from that country. He will learn so much from that, so many experiences from being there, from, you know, accounting with the people of Midian and whatnot. We will talk more about that, inshallah ta'ala. So let's talk about, you know, what happened. Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 23. Let's live with the Quran. All right, let us live with the chapter called Al-Qasas, verse number 23. ولما ورد ماء مدين وجد عليه أمة من الناس يسقون ووجد من دونهم امرأتان تذودان قال ما خطبكما قالتا لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء وأبونا شيخ كبير. And then he reached this outskirts of Midian after all the sacrifice and all this hardship, you know, crossing this desert 1,000 kilometers, you know, on foot, just for the sake of, again, the sacrifice, for the sake of supporting the weak and those who were disgraced, you know, the weak people, the people of Banu Israel. He deserved, really, Musa, he deserved to be called the Kalimullah. Ibrahim is Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. Musa is Kalimullah. He deserves that title, Kalimullah. Allah Azza wa Jalla used to talk to Musa directly, without any, you know, without any, you know, mediator between them, yani without any revelation, without having Jibreel between him and Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah will talk to him directly. This is why he was called Kalimullah. Allah will talk to him directly. He deserved that title. And remember, Musa was strong. Musa, Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with that body. He was strong. He grew up in the palace. He grew up in the palace of Fir'aun. The best of education that he got, you know, and the best skills and talents. So he reached the outskirts of Midian before entering Midian. And then remember, you know, the man is traveling for, let's say, almost 88 days, as they said, you know, 1,000 kilometers, hungry, starving, thirsty. And then he saw some people, you know, watering for their flocks. He saw some people, they have like, you know, they have their sheep, so the cattle, and then they're just watering for their flocks. And then he noticed that quite far, there were two women. So I'm sure you may have heard the story, but listen to the lessons we derive here. Lots of lessons, amazing, amazing, beautiful lessons. Those of you who are, you know, parents, those of you who are married, those of you who are not married, you know, you will learn so many lessons from this particular incident that happened to Musa alayhi salam right here. So he found, again, some people watering for their flocks. There's this little like a well or whatnot, and they were just watering for their cattle. And then he noticed that there were two women kind of like, you know, a little bit away, a little bit off. A little bit off. Imra'atani tadudan. So he went to them, to these women, and he said only one word, ma khatbukuma. That's what the Quran says. Ma khatbukuma. What's with you? What's your matter? Why are you staying back? And he didn't, salamu alaikum, how are you? My name is Musa. What's your name, sister? What's your name, sister? These two women. What's your name, sister? My name is Musa. And I kind of, I used to be Prince Musa, huh? I used to be Prince Musa. I used to, you know, I lived in the palace of Fir'aun. I had this and I had that. And he started talking about himself, you know. And how about you, sister? What's your name? Where are you from? What? No. Mm-mm-mm-mm. He didn't, you know, he just said, ma khatabukuma. Why are you staying back? Why are you not watering for your flocks? Why you have your cattle? Why are you not watering for your flocks? Why for your cattle? قال ما خطبكما قالتا لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء وأبونا شيخ كبير. They said لا نسقي, we have kept our cattle, our flocks away from mingling with others for this reason, and the reason is حَتَّى يُصْدِرَ الرِّعَاءُ. We're waiting for the men to finish watering for their flocks. Once the men finish watering for their cattle, then and only then we will come and water for our flocks. We don't want to mingle. We do not want to mingle. We're avoiding mingling with men. You see, and at the time, you know, Islam, what's Islam? And now we're talking about hijab. We're talking about not, you know, not shaking hands with women and whatnot, you know. But at the time, you may say, oh, what kind of religion was it? They did not want to intermingle. They stayed back until men would water first for their flock, you know. And it used to be like the people that, you know, there was this huge rock. So, and it's been said that this rock would only be carried by 10 people. They need 10 people to carry that rock, to move it, so people can water, you know, can water for their flocks. Imagine this. So it was this big rock. And so, of course, the stronger will come first. The strong will water first for his flocks, and then come the less stronger, and then so forth and so on and so forth. So those who are strong will come in first. Those who are weak will stay back. And these women were by themselves, two women. So, but they explained something interesting here to him. They said, and we were not, we're waiting for the men to finish watering their flocks. Well, excuse me. وَأَبُونَ شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. They said something interesting here. They said, and our father is an old man. As if they're telling him, if our father was, you know, young enough, he could have come and done this himself, and we would stay back home. We would not be here doing this job that actually belongs to men. وَأَبُونَ شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. So we have an old man, we have an old cha-cha, we have an old man sitting back, right? You know, and this is why we're doing this. يعني, this is the haya, this is the hishma, this is the modesty. You know, well, you women, what are you doing here? Number one, we're staying back, we don't want to mingle with men. Number two, our father is old. Our father is old. If our father was not old, he would do this himself. We're trying to help him. You know, they're trying to justify as to why they were out. they were trying to justify as to why doing what they were doing. You know, watering for the flocks. It is not haram to go out there and water for the flocks. You know, there's a woman shepherd. There's men shepherds, so they were women shepherd, but they were trying to justify that, in fact, because our father was old, or is old, and not able to come and do this himself, that's why we're doing it on his behalf. So many lessons. So many lessons. So it's been said, my brothers and sisters, Musa, Allah Azza wa Jalla has again blessed him with that strength. He went and he moved that rock by himself. A rock that can only be moved by 10 people. He went and he moved it on his own, by himself. He moved that rock. He watered for that woman. You know, he watered for them, for those women. He watered for them. And then he moved back into the corner. Imagine these women are looking. And then Musa goes. And then they just, you know, he carried that rock by himself, moved it to the side. Musa strong. And the man, khalas, nobody can mess around with Musa now. We've never seen this guy before. But not only that, look at the other thing, my sisters and my brothers. Musa is hungry and thirsty himself. Imagine if you are, you know, 8 days, 1,000 kilometers walking in the desert, you're already thirsty, you're going to die, and then you see water. What are you going to do, huh? What are you going to do when you see water? Are you going to care about women or men? Are you going to care about lust? There's no lust. What are you talking about? Women, man, you don't care about nothing. You're going to care about survival. And survival is, you see water, you're going to come. And what are you going to do, huh? What are you going to do, Hamid? What are you going to do, Saadiyah? What are you going to do, Yasmin? Yasin Rice? You know, you're thirsty, dying. 1 week, over the week, you have not drunk, you haven't eaten. And then you see water. What are you going to do? You're going to think to go and help people, or you're going to help yourself because you're dying? This is why we called Musa the shoulder for the oppressed. The title, shoulder for the oppressed. He deserves it. He sacrificed himself. He sacrificed his, you know, who is the one who is in need of that water? He is in need of that food. Yes, he will run. He will jump in the well. He will jump. He will, water. By the way, this is my right. Huh? This is my right. Bismillah. No. Me first. You're dying. You're going to go and drink. You're going to go and jump in the water. Of course, you're going to jump. You're going to run. You're going to, you know. But what Musa did, alayhi salam, he asked those women, what are you doing? Why are you here? Why are you back? He said, they said, we cannot go and water for our flocks because we're waiting for men to leave. Once men leave, then we will go and water for our flocks. So he goes. And he didn't drink. He just moved the rock. He watered for those, you know, took some water, you know, and watered for the flocks. And then he moved back to the corner. He didn't even drink. Brothers, those who are there, out there, the brothers out there, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you some muscles, huh? What do you use your muscles for? Huh? Are you like Musa? What do you see? You know, some people, they go to the gym. They go to the gym just so they can show their, you know, their muscles. Look at my muscles. Look at my, you know. And then they just start wearing this tight stuff, you know, to show their muscles. Do you really, is that you? Huh, brother, is that you? Musa had muscles. Musa, he killed a guy with one punch. One punch, you know, remember the previous session? One punch and he killed one guy, right? Was he showing off? So some of you that, you know, the man who sometimes they go to gym or even sisters, you know, you want to show your muscles? Yeah, are you the Iron Man or Superman? There's no Superman, my man. There's Jannah man. Remember? There's Jannah man. So Musa alayhi salam, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed him, but he utilized his strength in the right way, in the right thing, right? He utilized what Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed him with in the right manner. You know, to help people, to assist people. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you al-qawi. Allah is the strong, al-qawi. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, do you use your strength to oppress people? Or do you use your strength to help people? You have strength, right? Tayyib, alhamdulillah. Do you use your strength to help people or to oppress people? Sa'id, help, ya akhi, assist. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the most beloved people in the sight of Allah and the most beloved deed in the sight of Allah, he says, أحبكم للناس أنفعكم للناس. أحبكم لله عفوا. أحبكم لله أنفعكم للناس. He said, when he was asked sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the most beloved people, he says, the most beloved people in the sight of Allah are those who help others, are those who assist others. And the most beloved deeds in the sight of Allah is a smile that you bring in the life, you know, of your Muslim brother or sister. It's you pay off their debts, you alleviate their pain. And the Prophet says, it is more beloved to me to go in the assistance of my brother, Muslim brother. It is more beloved to me than making i'tikaf in my masjid for 1 month. Imagine making i'tikaf in the masjid for 1 month. The Prophet says, I'd rather go and serve my Muslim brother. I'd rather go and serve my sister. I'd rather go and help, you know, rather than staying and making i'tikaf. And what does i'tikaf mean? I'tikaf mean you live in the masjid. You pray in the masjid. You don't come out from the masjid. The 5 daily prayers and the masjid. Imagine all this reward that you get by making i'tikaf. Not only you pray all the salawat in the masjid, but you also live and sleep in the masjid, in the mosque. There's so much reward. Yet the Prophet is willing to sacrifice that reward just to go and serve somebody. Help. Serve. Assist. And then he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 24, ثم تولى إلى الظل قال رب إني بما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير فقال رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير فسقى لهما ثم تولى إلى الظل فقال رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. And then he went back into the shade. Did he drink? The Quran does not say that he drank. He just watered for those women and then he went back into the shade, under a tree most likely, into the shade, sat down, and then he made this beautiful dua. Okay, watch this. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Listen to this. Look at the dua of Musa alayhi salam. Because Allah has answered so far, you know, Allah has answered so far two of his dua. Dua number one, you know, when he killed that person, when he killed that man, and he made tawbah to Allah, and he says, oh Allah, forgive me, فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. And then Allah forgave him. That's his first dua that he got answered. The second dua, when he left Egypt, and he asked Allah Azza wa Jal to guide him, سَوَى السَّبِيلِ, to guide him to the right path. And Allah Azza wa Jal guided him to Midian. He made another dua for Allah to save him from the oppressors, مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. You will see what's going to happen here. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal, he made that dua for Allah to guide him and for Allah to save him from the oppressors, Fir'aun and his soldiers. So here, despite all that had happened, all the hardships, he went back into that shade and then he says, Rabbi inni bima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqeer. He says, oh Allah, despite all the good which you have blessed me with, I am in need of you. Look at the beautiful dua of Musa. He starts with the good. Musa, Prince Musa. desert, hungry, starving, thirsty, tired, sick, bleeding. And then when he made that dua, he says, "Oh Allah, despite all the good, all the favors which you have blessed me with, I am in need of you. I'm faqir. Faqir, I'm in need of you." He didn't complain. The fact that I was Prince Musa and look what they have done, you know, and they're accusing me of this and they want to kill me. He did not complain. Alayhi salam. He spoke about the good. Because sometimes when people make dua, they complain. "Oh Allah, this, oh Allah, that." They start complaining, complaining. Yeah, you can. It's not wrong. I didn't say it's wrong. But as long as you do it to Allah Azza wa Jal, you complain, you vent, you pour your heart out to Allah Azza wa Jal. It's okay. But Musa alayhi salam, he didn't complain. He talked about the blessings. Saying, "Oh Allah, despite all the blessings which you have blessed me with and the favors which you have blessed me with, I am in need of you. I'm faqir. I lost everything. I'm faqir." He humbled himself down before Allah. This is what it's called in your dua. To humble yourself down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right away came the answer. Right away came the answer. And look at the answer, my brothers and sisters.
فجاءته إحداهما تمشي على استحياء قالت إن أبي يدعوك ليجزيك أجر ما سقيت لنا فجاءته إحداهما تمشي على استحياء قالت إن أبي يدعوك ليجزيك أجر ما سقيت لنا
فجاءته. And then one of them, one of those ladies, one of them, she came to him. One of them came to him. Brothers and sisters, in Arabic, I'm going to give you a little, you know, tip in Arabic. The difference between fa and wa. Do you want this little beautiful tip in Arabic? Even the Arabs, a lot of Arabs don't know this. A lot of Arabs, they speak Arabic, but they don't know this. The difference between fa and wa. Faja'athu versus waja'athu. Fa and da. So would you like me to tell you this little bit, this beautiful tip, this beautiful difference between fa and wa? You guys want me to tell you? Yes, Sidi Yassin? Huh? Would you like me to tell you? Huh? Yes, please. Aywa. Faja'athu and wa. The difference between fa. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فجاءت إحداهما تمشي على استحياء. Oh, I want the sisters and the brothers to listen up. This is beautiful. Fa, it's used in the Quran in Arabic when it is a matter of hastening, of rushing. Whereas wa takes longer. Wa takes longer. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وسيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم.
لا 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 لا. وسيق
الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم رسل منكم يتلون عليكم آيات ربكم وينذرونكم لقاء يومكم هذا قالوا بلى ولكن حقت كلمة العذاب على الكافرين قيل ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها فبئس مثوى المتكبرين.
And then the other one is,
وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها.
Allah Azza wa Jalla is describing the two groups going into, one group going to hellfire and one group going to Jannah. The two parties. The day of judgment, you know, the people, the non-believers, will be resurrected and then will be dragged to hellfire. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. They will be dragged to Jahannam in groups. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. When they reach the gates of hellfire, the gates of hellfire will open up. There is no wow, there is no fat. As soon as, right away. But with regard to the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. You see, and then the believers, they been taken to Jannah Zumara in groups until they reached, once they reached the gates of Jannah, وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. Allah added there, wow, and their gates opened. For the non-believers, there was no and the gates opened. But for the believers, and the gate opens. Why? Because for the believers, just the fact that they're walking to Jannah, they are in a bliss. They are in enjoyment. So they're enjoying, they're taking their time until they reach the gates, and then they're looking at the gates as well. Just the gates of Jannah is beautiful. Just the gate, just looking at the gate. Brothers and sisters, you've been to Mecca? Those of you who've been to Mecca? Just when you enter Mecca, when you enter the Haram, you are in the Haram, without even praying, just sitting and looking at the Kaaba is a bliss. It's an enjoyment. Just you're looking, without praying, you're just looking at the Kaaba is an enjoyment. So here, just looking at the gates of Jannah is an enjoyment. So they're looking, and then, wow, and then the gates opened. Yeah, and the gates opened. Allah is giving them time to enjoy the bliss, to enjoy the looking at the gates, to enjoy walking, to enjoy. But for the non-believers, there is no wow. There is no wow. So here, فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا. Allah did not say wa ja'atu. This wa, it would have taken time. It would mean that it took time. Maybe the next day, one of them came and told him, you know, my father is inviting you. But Allah did not say, you know, wa ja'atu ihdahuma. Allah didn't say wa ja'atu. Allah Azza wa Jalla says faja'atu. Quick, it was fa. Fa li sur'a. You see, the Arabs, every letter means something. You know, this is amazing. You know, in the Arabic language is very powerful and very rich. Every letter, it is put, it is not like, hey Allah, just put this letter there. Just put that letter there. No. Every letter has got a meaning. Instead of fa, you know, if you use wa ja'atu and one of them came, in English, you go back to the translation, it's translated as and one of them came. And one of them came. I looked. The translation, it says, and one of them came to him. But in Arabic, it is not and one of them looked. In Arabic, is there's a difference between wa ja'atu and fa ja'atu. So Allah uses the F, not the waw. Allah used the F. فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءِ. And one of them to indicate the rush, to indicate the speed of the action, to indicate that it was actually something that was quick, right? So fa, as soon as he made that dua, right away the answer came. فَجَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي. She ran and then she came to him after she spoke to her father, and then she says, فجاءته إحداهما تمشي على استحياء قالت إن أبي يدعوك ليجزيك أجر ما سقيت لنا. Brothers, sisters, listen to this bit right here. And one of them came walking modestly. And one of them came walking modestly. تمشي على استحياء. Modestly. And then she said, it's not her. She said, my father. Again, that father. My father is inviting you to thank you for watering for us. إن أبي يدعوك ليجزيك خير ما جزيت خير ما سقيت لنا. Our father would like to invite you to thank you for watering, you know, for us. But I want you to pay attention to this term استحياء, from الحياء, from modesty. الحياء, modesty. I want you to pay attention to this little bit here. Brothers and sisters, look how I'm going to recite it. I'm going to recite it.
فجاءته إحداهما تمشي على استحياء.
استحياء means modestly. And one of them came walking modestly.
على استحياء قالت إن أبي يدعوك ليجزيك خير ما سقيت لنا.
Modestly is only used once in this verse. But the way you recite it, you make it sound like it is used twice. Because actually the ayah says, and one of them came walking modestly and she told him, our father wants to thank you for watering for us. This is how the ayah translates. But look at the beauty of the language, the beauty of Arabic. This is what, now I'm going to change the meaning of it. Please see if you can understand. If you understand this, you're number one. You're good. You're really great. You know, look, just based on my recitation, you should pick it up. And one of them came walking modestly.
وفجاءته إحداهما تمشي على استحياء. على استحياء قالت إن أبي يدعوك.
What do you get from this recitation? What's the key word? What did you understand from what I just said now, brothers and sisters? Because the translation just says, one of them came walking modestly and she told him that our father wants to thank you. But that recitation I recited, what did you get from it? What did you understand from it? Those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram. Layla, mashallah alik. Yes, yes, she said it modestly. Exactly, as if she was walking modestly and as if she was also talking modestly. Because the Quran does not say that the Quran just says she was walking modestly and then she spoke to him. She spoke to him, right? But the way you recite it, you make it sound like she was actually walking modestly and she was also talking modestly. Talking to him modestly. Yani, this is again haya. Sisters, haya of the sisters, the haya of the brother. Musa, he also had that chastity. You know, when he came, he just asked them, what are you doing? Yani, why are you staying back? ما خطبكما? Remember, he did not ask for the names, where they're from and whatnot. Who's their father? Do they have a father? Are they married? Oh, sister, mashallah, you look nice with your hijab. I like your hijab, mashallah, sister. Oh, your ibaya. Looks like, mashallah, you're working out, huh? MashaAllah, looking good, sister, MashaAllah. And he keeps on saying, MashaAllah. كأنه استغفر الله, يعني some sahabi, استغفر الله. MashaAllah, sister, MashaAllah. Imam, he's a sheikh now. MashaAllah, sister, you're looking amazing, MashaAllah, sister. The hijab matches your abaya. Oh, MashaAllah, I like your salwar qamis. I like the way, MashaAllah, yeah. And your eyes, MashaAllah, oh yeah, MashaAllah. On your, oh, MashaAllah, great, MashaAllah, clear, MashaAllah. Yeah, the hijab looks perfectly fine. And the shoes match the MashaAllah, the purse, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. This is to the, Isha, what's going on, man? What is wrong with this picture? What's going on here? What is the haya? You know, mashallah, you were happy with your mashallah, yani, mashallah, mashallah, khalas. Yani, just because of mashallah, you keep on talking. Mashallah, you look nice, mashallah, sister. And the brother also. Oh, mashallah, brother, you look like you've been hitting the gym here. Ah, mashallah, you look like you've been hitting the gym. You look like, mashallah, I can see the muscles bumming up. Yeah, mashallah, you look like you lost some weight, brother. Man, you look nice, brother. Mashallah, brother. Yeah, good, brother. Yeah, you look like your beard is, you trimmed it, huh? You look like you trimmed your beard, mashallah, sister, huh? You look like, brother, mashallah. Your eyes, what happened? Did you, what kind of cream do you use in your face? Mashallah, aywa, kida, huh? Shaitan is so smart. Shaitan is very smart. You know, he is very smart. And for Musa and that lady, she said modestly, she was walking. Even the way she was walking. You know, like there's some sisters, when they walk, you don't know if they're walking towards you or walking the other direction. You don't know whether they're walking or flying. You know, they're walking, and even some brothers, you know, they're walking. Well, the earth is flat, huh? The earth is flat. Allah made the earth flat. The earth is not awj. The earth is not like tilted. No, the earth is not tilted. The earth is flat. But the guy is walking like, what's up with that, huh? Swag? Allah made the earth flat for you to walk, you know, nicely and smoothly. But the guy's walking, This lady, she was walking modestly. Most likely her head down. She's not looking up or down, right, left, left. She's walking, looking down. Walking. And then she was also talking modestly. Call it. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? The way some women talk nowadays, the way some men talk nowadays, the way you see some brothers and sisters talking nowadays, the way they're laughing nowadays. Where is that haya? Where is this haya? Where is this chastity? Where is modesty? Modesty is from Iman. There's a name of Allah called Al-Hayy. One of the names of Allah, Al-Hayy. The modest, supreme modest, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet was so modest, was so shy. He's more shy than a virgin in her seclusion when he was described, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where is it today? So my brothers and sisters, what's going to happen after that? Because she told him, our father. And then our father, you know, the father will meet Musa alayhi salam, and yes, he will make him an offer. But before the offer, something's going to happen before the offer. Before the offer, something's going to happen. What is he going to learn in this trip now? He's going to learn so much. A lot of skills. It's a new life now for him. 10 years, a new life. Totally new. New leadership skills, new skills. What is he going to learn? Because he will need that. And the desert, remember the desert? Oh yes, he would need that skills of the desert. Why? Because he was going to live in the desert with Bani Israel for so many years. So he need the skills. But what other skills he's going to learn from, you know, from Jordan, from Midian? The deal he's going to have. The word he's going to give. And who is this? Prince Musa. What kind of job he's going to have? What he's going to do? By the way, a girl who keeps asking her father, Dad, Dad, this boy, bad, you know, he's good, but he water for us. Dad, he's strong. How, you know, what kind of message is he sending to her dad? She keeps talking about the same guy all the time. The guy who we were just walking, we were, you know, waiting for the people to water the flocks. And then came this man, we never seen him before. He came and then he moved this rock and then he watered for us. And then he, you know, and he came and he was talking, you know, he didn't even tell us anything. He was just told us, what were you doing? Yeah. She keeps on talking and mentioning, Dad, hire him. He is strong and trustworthy. How did she know that he's strong and trustworthy, by the way? Because she's going to tell her dad to hire him. But, and then she would say two qualities. He's strong and he's trustworthy. How does she know he's trustworthy? She only met him once. And didn't even speak. They didn't even speak.
He only told her, what are you doing? We're waiting to water. He watered, and then he went back to the corner, to the shade. That's all he said. They had no words. So then she goes back to her dad, and then she says, Dad, hire him. He is strong, and he is trustworthy. How does she know he's trustworthy? Or even strong?
Yes. What is he going to learn in this trip? Yes. That will be all, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow, bi-idhnillah. We will carry on the story of Musa alayhi salam. Like I told you, you know, we're just like maybe halfway, the story of Musa, less than halfway. There's still another maybe 10 more sessions just talking about Musa alayhi salam. Yeah. So inshallah ta'ala tomorrow, and maybe again we will change the timing, because I gave it today in earlier timing, but you know, people were, you know, sending, so we'll inshallah we'll, you know, play it by ear, bi-idhnillah. I will let you know tomorrow on my social media, you know, Instagram and Facebook. I will post the timing, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu fikum, my brothers and sisters. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. Jazakum Allah khair for joining wherever you are. Those of you on, you know, Instagram, those of you in Europe, UK, Canada, US, Australia, some people are from Malaysia, mashallah, Singapore, wherever you are. Thank you so much for joining. May Allah bless you. Barakallahu fikum. Yasmin, Layla, Shazia. Those of you on Facebook who are there, Hamid, and who else? Coco Murad. Hello, assalamu alaikum, Coco from Australia, and Elina and Sahdia Khan, Khadija, Elizabeth Ringlers, all of you. Khadija, thank you so much. Thank you for joining. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah bless you all. Have a great weekend. Have a great Saturday. And see you tomorrow, Sunday, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala. Hey, we have someone from the Caribbeans. Allahu Akbar. The Caribbeans, I'd love to go to the Caribbeans. Why not? We'll text you back, inshallah ta'ala. We'll text you back. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. No, I do not. I don't know who are you. I don't know. I mean, no, I don't recognize you, but I'll check you out, inshallah. Alrighty? Yalla. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.